I want you to stand tonight and turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read more scriptures than I normally read, but Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. I tell you, there's just a dynamism in the house today. Amen. I tell you, God is preparing us. In 2 weeks from tonight or today, we're going to have an international evangelist, Craig Stone. Anytime you put Stone in the last name, you know you're going to get something good. The Stone family from right over here in Middlesex are great, great Pentecostal people. And they've had a lot of preachers come out of that family. One of them is Jensen Franklin, who he doesn't have the last name Stone, but he is a Stone because of through his mother. And Craig and Jensen are first cousins. I went to school with a lot of the Stones. I went to school with Tracy Stone, who is pastoring a large church in Georgia. So I'm looking forward to 2 Sundays from today. Craig Stone. In fact, I had him here when this was Living Waters. We had him to preach for us sometimes about 20 years ago. Time flies. I was thinking I had Craig Stone here in 1998. Amen. Thanksgiving weekend, and I've still got those sermons that he preached, and so I'm looking forward to that. And then in April, we've got a guy coming for revival. His name is Kenny Williamson, and he can play a piano like Jerry Lee Lewis, and he can tickle those ivories, and he can preach, and he can minister. He has got the sweetest, humblest spirit. He's not very flashy, but you will want to invite people to come. It's the first week of April. It's the only time we could get him. He's coming all the way from Georgia, but he is going to bless us in a phenomenal way. So the spirit of revival is in the church. Amen. And who knows what's going to happen on Easter Sunday when we let our cantata loose on that Sunday. Amen. If all goes as planned. So thank God for it. He's up to something. I want you to turn around and tell somebody there's more at Westmoreland. Amen. There's more in Westmoreland. Amen. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to read down to verse 17. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together or bent over. She could not lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Oh, I want to say that to some woman here tonight, some young lady here tonight. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people. Notice he didn't say to Jesus, he said to the people. That's how troublemakers work. They always talk to people. Amen. There are 6 days on which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered and said, You hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And glory to God, the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Now go back and look. It says there are 6 days which men ought to work in verse 14. But then Jesus said in verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed on the Sabbath day? And I want to speak on the thought tonight, the way church ought to be. Now, Father, tonight anoint your servant to preach the word of God. I thank you for the revival spirit that we feel. Thank you for Michael Ball coming a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, God, for what we feel today. Thank you for our pastor and our first lady. Thank you for Brother Cooper. Thank you, Lord, for those that are soon to come. And we pray you'd come. Even so, Lord Jesus, minister through this message tonight, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty, and you may be seated tonight. Say it by faith tonight. Amen. And I want you to give Jesus another hand of praise here tonight. He's all that I need. In our text tonight, we're introduced to a woman who has been bound with an infirmity that kept her bent over for 18 years. 18 years is too long. But thanks be unto God, when she came into the synagogue, Jesus said to her, go back to verse 12, Luke 13 and 12. Jesus said, and when he saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. From thine infirmity. Praise God. Caitlin, how old are you, sweetie? You're 18. Something happens around that 18 year. So get ready, get ready. Amen, somebody. The Holy Ghost is working tonight. Woman, thou art loosed. Amen. Caitlin, thou art loosed. Praise God. 18 years. God's got some great things ahead. And everybody said amen. Amen. You see, in a moment, what had been an enduring situation, 18 years, an embarrassing situation, bent over, an excruciating situation, painful, instantly and dramatically, she was healed. What a powerful miracle that was. But here's what I want you to notice tonight. I want you to notice the reaction of the ruler of the synagogue. Look again at verse 14. Here's the reaction. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was fit to be tied. He was out of composure. He had lost his he had just come unglued, unhinged. Because why? That Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. And let them be healed then, but not on the Sabbath day. Can you see the seething? Let me talk about that ruler of the synagogue. Who was the ruler of the synagogue? Well, he was the leader. He was the primary one to ensure the needs of the church were met. He was the one that the ruler had the responsibility of sweeping the floor, or if he didn't do it, he had somebody to do it. He made sure the lights were taken care of, or candles back in those days, if you will. Maybe the carpet cleaned. I know we didn't have carpet back then, but he was the primary teacher. Every week people would come. He would be what we would know today probably as the pastor of the synagogue. He was the ruler. He was the caretaker. He had responsibility. He came in and week out, and he made sure everything was just right, so that on the Sabbath day they could open the Word of God and learn from the Word of God. You think if anybody would have been happy? He probably had pastored this woman for those 18 years. And instead of rejoicing, instead of celebrating, instead of glorifying God, that a woman who had been bound for 18 years was set free. But instead of rejoicing, he was grumbling. And what he was really saying was that this ought not to have been done. Now look at Luke 13, 15. But the Lord answered and said, you hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to the water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound 18 years, be loosed from this bond? In other words, Jesus was saying, you're saying she ought not to be healed, but really, ought not this woman be healed? Ought not something be done about her situation? Ought not this infirmity be corrected? Ought not she come in one way and leave another? Ought not, you got it wrong, brother. Ought not she to be set free? Ought not she ought to be delivered? In other words, ought not this the way church ought to be? And how many of you want God to move? How many of you want God to bless? How many of you want God to heal? How many of you want lives changed and marriages put back together? Brother, that's the way church ought to be. Not just once in a while, but every Sabbath, every Sunday, we ought to see signs, wonders, lives changed, souls saved. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. The way church ought to be. And thank God at Westmoreland we see that every Sunday. I said, every Sunday we gather here, you might not see it in your physical eyes. And I never like it when people come in and they get critical and say, well, I don't see this and I don't see that. Brother, God moves sometimes in an invisible way. And you don't know what the pastors had to deal with that week. You don't know what miracle took place because this church has existed and the lights have been on for all of these years. I'm here to tell you, that's the way it ought to be and that's the way it is. And we ought to rejoice and say, Lord, have your way at Westmoreland the way it ought to be. Give him another hand of praise. Now I'm gonna give you four things. The way church ought to be, number one, is where Jesus is the primary personality. Now, obviously, this synagogue had a ruler. And obviously, it was the ruler and not the master who was in charge. But notice, go back. I don't think you're going to be able to follow it on the screen. But notice all that Jesus was doing that day. In verse 10, he was teaching. In verse 12, he saw the woman. In verse 13, he takes charge and he changes the schedule and the agenda to focus on this lady. Verse 13, he lays his hands on her and heals her. Verse 15, he defends her healing. And verse 17, my goodness, he's working. I mean, he's taking over. And that's the way church ought to be, where Jesus is numero uno, where he is number one. Si, señoritas. Si, señores. He's the el jefe. He's the ruler. He's the boss. He is, el jefe means boss in Spanish. I didn't want y'all to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Please know that church ought to be where Jesus is the primary personality, not the woman so much, not even the disciples, not even the ruler, but Jesus is the primary personality. Let me tell you something, that the church ought to be about promoting Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus. He's the builder of it. He's the head of it. He's the foundation of it. He's the husband of it. And if you're going to do church like it ought to be, then he must be the number one. Amen. I mean, he's the church is his bride. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to get on my bad side really quick? You say something about my bride, even if she's wrong. You better say it very gently. Amen. She's not perfect. Neither is your bride. Are you listening to me? But you want to get on my good side? You tell me how good my bride has been. Hallelujah. And you want to get on Jesus' bad side? You say things like this. Well, I love Jesus, but I just don't like the church. There's too many hypocrites in the church, and the preacher don't preach, and the deacons don't deacon. You know what? You've not endeared yourself to Jesus. Brother, he died for that church, and he's coming back for that church, and that church may have some flaws, but he's going to make it a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He loves his church, and the church ought to be all about Jesus. Amen, somebody. Don't you run down the church now. I know. Yeah, you say, well, I'm blah, 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 blah. Don't you sit at home from the church. No, sir. You get up and come to the church. Can I get a witness? We must preach Jesus. We must worship Jesus. We must allow him to move by his spirit. We must serve him and follow his vision. We must love him and let him lead. And you know, we tend to forget that. Can I get a witness? In fact, so many churches, they actually cater to lesser personalities. Maybe a certain family. Maybe the biggest contributor. Maybe the loudest complainer. One person. And I've been a pastor for 20 years, a lead pastor for 20 years, and I've pastored six different churches. And I'm telling you, out of all six churches, there was always that one complainer that just kept everybody on edge. And I prayed many times, God, just take them out in Jesus' name. And then I'd be humble about it. And I'd say, Lord, do it nice. Do it gently. Let them find another church. And finally, I got to the point, whatever, Lord. Excuse me, I got to pray because that wasn't right. Please forgive me, Jesus. Please forgive me. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen entire board members, board meetings where one critic shut the whole agenda Brother, it ought not to be like that. It ought to be, what does the Lord want? Not even so much the pastor, because he's not, he's under Jesus. He's primary, but he's under Jesus, who's the main one. Can I get a witness out here tonight? It's not about the contributors or the deacons or what. It's about Jesus. Now, we factor in what people say, and we have expressions of opinion, and if you want the carpet burgundy from the 80s, I mean, we'll consider it. Amen? We'll give it a fair shot. But if we come up and the rest of the majority says, well, we want this, then don't get all these. Amen. It's about Jesus. Amen, somebody. Come on, help me here tonight. Wynn Arnn, who was a leading church consultant, conducted a survey. He surveyed members of nearly 1,000 churches, asking them the question, why, 1,000 people, why does the church exist? And the results of his phenomenal survey, 89%, that's in translation for Southern Nash and East Carolina graduates, 89%, 890 people out of 1,000 people said this or something similar. The church's primary purpose is to take care of my family and my needs. Now, yes, the church should take care of your family. We ought to have something for kids. We ought to have something for the seniors. Amen, seniors? Come on now, we don't want to forget the seniors. Praise God. I love seniors. I do. I love seniors. I love juniors. I love them all. But let me tell you what, that is a responsibility of the church, but not the primary responsibility. It's not to take care of you and your family. The primary responsibility is to preach Jesus. He's the Lord of glory. He's the King of kings. I want to challenge us to ask this question. What does Jesus want in girls' ministry and Royal Rangers? What does he want for Westmoreland? What does he want this church to do? What would he do about reaching this community? What would his priorities be concerning ministry, children's, teen, music, outreach? What's the last time? When's the last time we just come together and said, Lord, what do you want? This is what church ought to be, where Jesus is the primary personality. And if we get our feelings hurt and it doesn't kind of, then that's all right. We say, Lord, I'm quick to forgive because you forgave me on Calvary. And Lord, let it be about you. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise? That's the way church ought to be. There was a man who visited a church who was dressed in ragged clothes. He wasn't dressed right. Dirty shoe. Not really presentable. And I think you should do your best. But after service, the people pressured the pastor to meet this guy and talk with him, make sure that when he returned, he had better clothing. And I understand that there's times when you do have to talk with people and say, listen, if you can do better, we want to show you that it glorifies the Lord to do better. Amen. But obviously this person could not do better, and they pressured the pastor. And they encouraged him to pray about it and so they talked to the man and they said, pray about it and assured him that the Lord would lead him that way. Amazingly, he came back the next Sunday after all that prayer and after all that counsel in the same way. And the pastor met him at the back and said about his appearance. He said, well, we talked about this before. Did you pray about what to wear? The pastor asked. He said, yes, I did. Well, what did the Lord tell you? The man responded, well, I asked the Lord what I was supposed to wear when coming to your church. And he told me he couldn't really say, since he never showed up there anyway. Aren't you glad Jesus is in Westmoreland? Let me say that quick. Amen. But that's what it ought to be, where Jesus is number one. Come on and give him another hand of praise. We need to feel Jesus. We need to experience Jesus. We need to share Jesus. We need to worship Jesus. And if we do, we'll see church the way it ought to be. And all of God's people said amen. Church ought to be number two, where the crooked is made straight. Ooh, listen, the sad part of this story is that she came, probably came every Saturday. She came in crooked, bent over. She came in and she went back. And by the way, we need to commend her for doing that. I'm sure it was very embarrassing. I'm sure it was even excruciating. But yet, for 18 years, you could count on her. And she was there. And we're living in a day. One drop of rain. And it keeps 15 deacons out. Amen. Of other churches. Amen. Our deacons show up. Amen. Praise God, you on live stream. Aren't you jealous? Amen. But one person gets the common cold. Not a bad cold, but the common cold. And the whole family has to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Amen. Y'all remember that song? Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them to keep the church folks away. And in the summer, it's too hot. And in the winter, it's too cold. And somebody said, I have an up and down church. They're either up at the mountains or down at the beach. Amen. But you got to commend this woman, Brother Kyle. And I commend you. This brother's walked through some valleys. And he's put out some applications. And he's had people to say, no, we don't have anything for you. But I don't know how many. I don't think I could count it on one hand, even half of one hand, the times that he missed and his wife missed being here. Because that's what true character is all about. Amen. At church, things may not be going right. I might be bent over, and I might have been here 9 years, but I'm going to come for the 10th year. But, oh, let's commend her for being faithful to the house of God. And I know we're all getting older, and we've got backaches, headaches, heartaches, toothaches, and heartbreaks, and all of this. But the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's just come together and worship together, and let, no matter how we feel. Because I can tell you one thing, you may come in with a burden, but Jesus is going to show up and you're going to leave shouting. Somebody give him praise here tonight. You won't leave like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. The church is a place where crooked, week after week, no help. Week after week, no change. Sabbath was observed. The building was kept up. The grass was cut. The flowers were trimmed. They had a ruler. They had leadership. They had a pastor. But in spite of the activity, there obviously was no productivity. Uh-huh. Did you catch that? There is a difference in activity and productivity. Let me tell you something. We got to be careful that we don't get so active that we don't become or we cease to become productive. But she came in crooked and left crooked. There was nothing to fix her problem, nothing to remedy her need, nothing to give her hope. And that's not the way it ought to be. The church ought to be where lives are changed, where people are touched, marriages are put back together, crookedness is straightened out. Listen, he straightened her body. She had a physical healing. Aren't you glad for physical healing? Some of you need a physical healing. And I speak healing in the name of Jesus. He will restore health unto thee in the name of the Father. Thank God he is. There is by his stripes we are healed and his blood is flowing. There is a physician there and there is one who heals you physically. But he not only healed her body, he straightened out her walk. Now, she's been over. You can't walk right. And I'll tell you what. He straightened out her walk. And I'll tell you something else. God will straighten out your walk. Amen. He'll make sure you walk right. And talk right. I'm part of that chosen few. Amen. Those holy rollers. Those holiness people. Amen. Jesus wants to straighten out our walk. That not only do we live for him. And not only do we live by him. But we live like him. Amen. Praise God, it's one thing to live for him, and it's one thing to live by him, but brother, we got to live like him. Amen. He straightens out our walk. He straightened out her body. He straightened out her walk, and guess what? He straightened out her vision. Have you ever seen people who look down all the time? I mean, they look down. You could say that Ed McMahon is coming to give you the publisher's clearing house, and they think, well, so what? You know, they just cannot get excited. Does anybody know who Ed McMahon is? He's dead. So if he shows up, you're either having a bad dream or it's not good either way. But listen, she looked down all the time. Let me tell you something. God don't want you looking down all the time. You're like that little character in Peanuts. You got that blanket hanging on to it. Are y'all with me? You can't get that blanket away from that fella. Some people are proud of their blanket. Some people are proud. Let me tell you, throw that blanket away. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. And he's in the house. And I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And you say, well, I don't see a way, but he said, I'm going to make a way. Amen. Praise God, you may be going through trouble in your marriage, but let me tell you, he's going to straighten that up. You need to quit looking down. Oh my, how pitiful, it ain't going to work out, and what am I going to do? Look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. There's a God who answers prayer. There's a God who can do the miraculous. There's a God who can send a check in the mail. There's a God who can keep the lights on. There's a God that can move. I want you to know, he's going to straighten the crooked mess out, and you're going to walk, and you're going to be free, because that's the way church ought to be. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Look up. Come on, everybody, take a look up right now. Come on, look up. Woohoo, look up. I'm telling you, don't be looking down all the time. Don't be frowning all the time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. By the way, things are looking up. Amen. And I'll tell you what else. He brought dignity to her. She'd been bound and bent over. Satan, her condition, Pastor, it was a physical condition brought on by a spiritual condition. Because you know, it says, Satan hath bound her. That's who your real enemy is. Satan. He wants to deceive. When people do things, like on a job, when somebody acts crazy around me, maybe they bite my head off, maybe they undercut me. Yeah, it happens. Right at Best Buy, thank you. And guess what? It's going to happen at DOT, wherever you at. Oh God, it even happens in the, oh, I'm going to say the church. Because Satan, that's why Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, so Satan wants your spouse. He wants you. Some of your kids go crazy. You know what's going on? The devil's messing with them. Check what music they're listening to. That might help out. If you're letting them run over to see rated R movies and get the Kodi app and get porn, I mean, of course, you're just letting the devil run right. Are y'all with me? Satan is our enemy. She had a spiritual condition, but he looked and said, ought not this daughter of Abraham. I don't know if the ruler ever called her anything like that. He probably never even said anything about her being a daughter of Abraham. You see, he brought dignity to her. You see, it doesn't matter what Satan does to you. It doesn't matter what people do to you. You are a child of the Most High God. I had an earthly father, and I'm privileged to say he treated me good. Some of you have got earthly fathers and earthly mothers that didn't treat you good. But let me tell you something. Your heavenly father, you are a daughter of Abraham. You are a son of the Most High God. I'm a joint heir, as the pastor said the other day. Doesn't mean I get half or a third, or he gets 30%. I get it all, glory to God. His name is Jesus. And thank God the crookedness is going to be made straight. And I'm not looking down. I'm the son. I'm a son of the Most High God. And the Lord is working in my life. Can you give him praise that he's going to straighten out your finances. He's going to straighten out your marriage. He's going to straighten out your marriage, your family, your addictions. God will straighten out the crooked places because he's in the house. Somebody say amen. I'm expecting it to happen. I heard about this passenger who was in a taxi. He leaned over to ask the driver a question. He was in the back seat and he tapped the driver on the shoulder. Well, something about him tapping him on the shoulder, the taxi driver went berserk. He hit trash cans. He punched the accelerator. He skidded, and he almost killed them both. And the man apologized in the back seat. He said, "Sir, I'm so sorry that I startled you. I was just going to ask you a question." The taxi driver, he apologized back. He said, "Well, I shouldn't have got so startled when you tapped me on the shoulder. But you see, today is the first day on the job. And the last 18 years, I drove a hearse." Tap somebody and see if they're awake. Come on. That taxi driver won't expect it. And we got a lot of people, Pastor. They come to church and they flop down. "Well, if they'll sing or if they'll preach, I might." No, I've come to church expecting God to move, God to save. I expected my mother to get saved. It's been a long time coming, but praise God, today was the day I was expecting. And that's what happens with the way church ought to be. Are you expecting God to bless? Are you expecting God to heal? Well, are you? Well, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Church ought to be where Jesus is the primary personality, where crooked things are made straight. And number three, where the devil is put to shame. I like that point. Go to verse 17. "And when he said these things, all his adversaries were" what? "Were ashamed." Let's go to 3:13, verse 17 of Luke. Luke chapter 13, verse 17. "And when he said these things, his adversaries were ashamed." Oh, can you say amen? You see, actually, there's some things that go on in churches that really are ashamed. Y'all with me? Well, let me tell you something. When I'm gonna give you the negative before we get to the positive. But so Pastor Jerry and I, we have served on leadership in the conference and evangelism board, examining committee, and win prayer. And he and I both have, we talk to pastors and leaders, and sometimes we'll see pastors and they'll just pour out their heart and they'll begin to, we've been in mentoring meetings. How many times have we gone to mentoring meeting and the pastors gather together and they begin to say things that people in the church have done? And you know what I say? It's a shame. It's a shame when deacons are divided. Can I get a witness? It's a shame when pastors are run away from their pulpits. Can I get a witness? It's a shame when there's infighting, turf wars, and, you know, this family against that family. And this is the house of God. Amen. We got too many project torpedoes, too many impossibility thinkers, too many people who spread depression. Did you know that 80% of churches are plateaued or declining? That means 80% of churches, that means they had the same number last year that they have this year, or less. 80% of churches. Thank God that's not Westmoreland. Amen. It ought not to be. It's a shame. It's not the church that ought to be ashamed. It's the devil that ought to be put to shame. The way church ought to be is not when things happen like that. Listen. The devil gets shamed by his presence. He was there, and I want to tell you, he is here. You want to shame the devil? He said, "I will show up and show off." The devil was shamed by his preaching, because the Bible says he spoke the word unto them. And I'll tell you, the word of God will put the devil to shame. His word is like Brother Jerry says, a hammer that breaks the pieces. Brother, it's hammer time now. And I want you to know that's the way church ought to be. The devil is shamed by God's power, because he healed this woman. And I'll tell you something else. The devil is shamed by his promise, because if he healed that woman then, guess what? He can heal you tonight. If he did it back in the book of Luke, he can do it in the book of Acts. And if he did it in the book of Acts, he can do it in Wilson County. I want you to know his promise is real. And church is a place that puts the devil to shame. I tell you what. You shame the devil when you come down to this altar and you lift your hands when you're going through hell. Amen. You put the devil to shame when you invite your family to church You don't know how long I've worked on my mother. You'd think she was, she's a good woman, but I don't know if, I believe I could win somebody in ISIS easier, I believe. I mean, I've tried everything. I'm not saying she is, I'm just saying she's just hard to win your family. Can I get a witness? But I'm going to tell you what's going to win your family is being relentless and never giving up, never ceding it, and never getting discouraged and say, well, I just ain't going to ask them no more. I didn't ask them and ask them. If they want to come, they can come. No, you just gave up. Can I remind you of Super Bowl 51 in the third quarter, halfway through, the New England Patriots were losing and losing bad. But something happened in that locker room. I don't know what happened, but around that third quarter to the end of it and the whole fourth quarter, the Atlanta Falcons had no answer, and Tom Brady walks off with the Super Bowl trophy. Praise God, my mother walked the aisle this morning. That is years and years and decades of praying. My God, it shames the devil, and I'm just going to have a run about that tonight. My God, that's the way church ought to be. Oh, put the devil to shame. Somebody give him praise in this house tonight. Shame the devil by your praise. Praise him despite the hell. Praise him despite your body. Praise him despite what somebody said. I'm going to praise him. And I'm going to put the devil to shame. Amen. That's my fourth point. The way church ought to be is where Jesus is the primary personality. Say amen. Where crookedness is made straight. Say amen. Where the devil is put to shame. Say amen. And number four, where the people praise the Lord. Go back to Luke 13 and 17. I don't know if he's able to get that or not. But Luke 13 and 17. Look at the last part. And all the people rejoiced. We got a lot of people come to church 11 o'clock sharp. They leave 12 o'clock dull. We got to rejoice. We got to worship. What were they rejoicing about? They were rejoicing that Jesus was primary. They were rejoicing that the woman was healed. And they were rejoicing that the enemy was shamed. And Jesus put that ruler in his place. He said, I'm the ruler. I'm in charge. And it may have taken a while, but I've touched that woman. And by the way, she's in heaven tonight. Those little 18 years she went through, gone. I know 18 years is a long time. 18 years. God bless you, son. 18 years ago, I'm 40-something. 18 years ago. What year would that be? What year would that be? 1999. Woohoo! 1999. That's a long time. Does anybody remember 1999? The millennium bug? Come on, Y2K was looming. Bill Clinton was impeached. Drudge Report started. 1999. Pastor Jerry was pastoring at the old church. I was pastoring here at Living Waters. I think you were still working at Firestone then, weren't you? I used to have lunch with him, and the few times he was so busy, and I say, Brother Jerry, man, just think, man, you retire from that job, man, we're going to have a good time. Amen. You remember that? You remember that? Remember that? And that happened. When he stepped down, we furthered our friendship, and then when I went to Pastor West Road down in Kinston, y'all would come, and I'd have him every year. And God's up to something. Amen. In 1999, 18 years ago, I'm going to tell you what, God, 18 years is a long time, but I'm here to tell you, in light of eternity, it's nothing. It's nothing. The Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way. And he wants to do something in your life. And I'm going to tell you, as I close, brother, if you'll come and get ready, and let's get down to the wire here. Hear what I got to say. If you miss this, you're going to miss the whole message. I never like it when people say things like this, that the church isn't this, or the church isn't that. Well, the church isn't X enough. Or the church is too much X of this. Can I tell you something? Who is the church? Put your finger out and put it right here. You, the church. You're the church. You're the church. In fact, a little boy was playing around in the seat. And the pastor was saying that we are the church. Our body is the church. But he was squirming and not paying attention like his mama thought. And his mama reached over and pinched him. And he fired back and said, "Mama, lay off the church." You the church. You're the church. If the church isn't winning souls, what does that mean? It means you're not winning souls. Well, the church isn't praying enough. That means you're not praying enough. Well, the church isn't evangelistic enough. That means you need to take responsibility. And most of the time when people say the church isn't this, they're blaming somebody else for what they ought to be doing. Because as long, the Bible says you have a few that have not defiled their garments. Brother, even in the churches of Revelation, even in those terrible churches, God still got some. As long as one soul in this church will love Him, serve Him, and praise Him, you could be the catalyst for a Holy Ghost revival. You need to come here and say, "I'm going to give it all I got to God. I'm going to encourage one another. Even when I'm going down, I'm going to bless people, and I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is." Would you stand with me tonight? "And all that is within me, I'm going to bless His holy name, because I am the church, and I want Jesus in my life to be the primary personality. I want my crookedness to be straightened out. I want the Lord to touch me. I want Him to touch through me and touch me tonight. I want my life to be the way it ought to be." The church is no stronger than each of us together. And if you want to be that kind of church, I want you to lift up your hands as they play tonight. Oh God, the church. The way the church ought to be. Oh God, be the primary personality. Oh God, bring the crookedness. Give us a fresh vision. We're looking down, but help us to see the fields are wide in the harvest. Help us not to just see our own need, but to see a world that's dying. You've healed us to bring healing. You brought healing to us that you may bring healing through us. Somebody tonight is getting healed. Some of you've had a problem for many years. Some of you've carried a burden for a long time. I want you to step out of your seat, everyone, if you would. And I want us all to fall into this altar tonight, because I believe Jesus is the primary personality. And I believe He's about to do something. "Woman, thou art loosed." "Sir, you are loosed." God is setting the captive free. Is anybody going to praise Him tonight? Even before you get the answer. Even before you see the breakthrough. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Oh, I loose my brother tonight, God. Oh God, what he's going to receive is a temporary assignment. But God, you're preparing him for the permanent assignment. For the hand of the Lord is upon your life from your mother's womb. And I've separated you and called you to ministry. And you will minister because Jesus is the primary personality. And what he has brought straight into your life, the crookedness he's made straight, you will see it done in others. There's a mighty call, woman of God. Woman, thou art loose tonight. You and your husband will preach and minister the word of God. I commission you by the Holy Spirit tonight. Not my words, but the Lord is word. Oh, somebody lift your hand and praise Him tonight. Woman, thou art loosed. Thou art loosed tonight. Thou art loosed. Woman, thou art loosed. You may have had hurt and pain for many years, but God has stepped in. He's the primary person. I wish somebody would just get a little loose here tonight. I tell you, He is working. I said, He is working. I said, the Lord is in this house tonight. Sister Carolyn, the Lord is in this house tonight. You've been faithful over a few things. And before your eyes, those seeds you have planted are going to sprout as a mighty harvest. You and your husband have been faithful all these many years upon years upon years. And sometimes you've wondered, God, has there been any result? And God said, yes, woman and man, thou art loosed. God is working, and your children, God is going to do something miraculous. You're going to say to each other, look what the Lord has done. Praise God. Woman, thou art loosed tonight. Oh, whom the Son made free is free indeed. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Woman, thou art loosed tonight. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The Lord said that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Read Philippians where it says, rejoice evermore. Oh, God, thank you right now that you have turned her mourning into dancing. Oh, God, thank you tonight for ministering through her. Woman, thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. You will be free. God is going to bring the crookedness straight. You came in one way. You're going to leave an Okayama right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Woman, thou art loosed. Come here, Brother Elam. Hallelujah.
Jesus is the one.
Oh.
Yes, He's the
man,
only
thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Brother Cooper, would you come? Would you come right here? Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Jesus is bringing the crooked straight. I speak to the heart rhythm. I speak to the valve. Oh, you're the great physician. Somebody lift your hand in this house tonight. I said the great physician. You're loosed. You're loosed. I said you're loose. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woman, thou art loose. Thou art loose. You've been hurt. People have not understood. God, don't let her look back. I pray for her marriage. I pray for her children. I pray for her husband. Woman, thou art loose tonight.
Yes,
God's going to do a work.
He's the only one.
Oh, for her husband, I speak. He will be saved. Become a Christian. Give her wisdom, God. Be patient. Sow the seeds of love.
He speaks, you know.
And her family, God, will stand amazed. Woman, thou art loose. Okay, I'm going to shy. Thou art loosed. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. Lift up your head.